Dead Poets Society, which is a deeper study in the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are Hebrew poetry that incorporate poetic techniques. They use rhyme, meter, parallelism, acrostics, chiasms, and all kinds of other stuff. And they're poems that are carefully thought out. They aren't like something that I scribble down. You know, like sometimes I have a great thought. I should scribble that out. It's not that. It is a carefully thought out poem. They aren't journals, diaries, or blogs. They are poems. Poems with purpose from the author and spirit of God. And today, we're going to be looking at arguably the most popular psalm. It is a psalm that is required, that is usually requested at most funerals. And yet, it really isn't written, as far as I'm concerned, for a funeral setting. And it's written by King David, a psalm that communicates who we are and the character of God. Let's look at Psalm 23. Tony, would you read Psalm 23 for us?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
There was a part of me that almost had all of us reading it together because we're so familiar with this psalm. It's one that we have read and heard about most of our lives. And it talks about us and it talks about the Lord. We live in a world that tells us that we are to be self-sufficient, independent. And we often look to success, relationships, money, achievement, material things, and more, hoping to make it through that life. But Psalm 23 reminds us that we are sheep that need a shepherd, the good shepherd. And Psalm 23 starts with a declaration from David, the king of Israel. Tony?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
This is the whole deal of the psalm. This is it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is David's shepherd. And it's interesting that he uses the word shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is my king or deliverer or rock or the Neil. There's just so many songs that talk about he is something. And David comes out and says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, there'll be other times he says he's my king and my this and my that and the other thing. But this time, he says he is my shepherd. And unlike a king or a deliverer, a shepherd has a deep, intimate, and personal knowledge of his sheep. It's different than a king. A king has servants, and there's thousands of servants, and they're all out there, and he sits out there, and one servant comes up, and he doesn't have any idea who he is. That's not a shepherd. A shepherd has a flock, and he knows the sheep. And the shepherd, unlike a king doesn't sit around and goes, bring this slave to me. Are you okay? Doesn't do that. He gets what he needs from the slave or the servant, and he sends him away. The shepherd is responsible for the well-being of the sheep. And David says that because the Lord is his shepherd, the one who cares for him, he has all he needs. He's everything. Everything he needs. And the rest of this psalm flows out of that statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is my shepherd. From there, he talks about how the shepherd accomplishes it. And so he starts by reminding us that the shepherd provides. Tony?
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
When I think of green pastures, for some reason, I always think of my lawn in the spring and the fall, where it's big and green and beautiful and it looks perfect, and I'm like, ah, I love my lawn. Everything looks great. We had a youth group reunion a few years ago, and it was right in the middle of June after all kinds of rains, and we got the lawn cut and it looked great and everything's beautiful. And I had people coming over like, wow, Bob, your lawn looks great. You must take immense care of it. I go, oh, yes, I do. And it just looked full and green and beautiful. And then the summer comes and mid-August comes, and what do I look out in the back of my lawn, and there it is. Brown patches everywhere, right? Right? You know what it's like. The summer heat comes and boof, gone. And I sat at this youth group reunion. I said, I'm so smart that I picked the perfect time to have everybody come over. I look great. I look like the green thumb, not the big dumb, which is what it looks like in August, right? It's what happens. Well, these green pastures, that's what I think of when I see green pastures. But there's more than just that. They're rich and healthy pastures where sheep don't need to move from place to place. Because what happens is it's a very unusual phenomenon in the desert. You know, in the desert, in the summer and fall, there's no grass, there's nothing to eat at all, typically, except for these things called green pastures. And they are in spots all over the desert where there's green, rich, full grass all year long. It's like going to Nebraska forever, right? You just could eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, except it doesn't cost you anything. It's glorious. Well, that's exactly the picture here. The shepherd takes you to the right spot, to the place of green pastures where there is rich, lush grass that sheep can eat all year long without having to go from spot to spot. There isn't any searching. There isn't any wandering. And so David is saying that God's care isn't seasonal, but that it's constant and it's abundant. He leads me by green pastures. He gives me what I need beyond what I ever imagined. And he talks about quiet waters. They're springs, and they would be springs that can be drank out without having to rush or worry about drying up. They were able to come and just drink and drink and drink and not worry about what the weather's going to do or whether there's enough. I remember when I was at Haycock, we used to go hiking all the time, and unfortunately, back in the day when we didn't care about germs, we used to have to share water bottles and stuff like that, and there was like a group bottle for like five of us, and we'd have to go hiking, and we're going hiking, and we'd always tell everybody, now don't drink all the water, because I want some too. I want some too. You know, grumpy teenagers who are going hiking 19 miles. It's not pretty. So, you know, sure enough, some pig would guzzle the darn thing down, and you'd say, and someone would say, who drank the water? And someone would say, I don't know. And there's nothing left for us. David's saying, you know what? You never have to worry about that with a good shepherd. Because he's taking you to a place where not only is the grass and the food that he provides abundant, but the living water is flowing and is always there. You can get your drink to the full. In Christ, your spirit is overflowing with his water. It's amazing. He says, it tells us that God abundantly and sacrificially cares for us so that you and I don't have to worry. He is a provider. You know what? I think of my parents a lot. And I'm really grateful for the life I've had with them. And one of the things I remember growing up is never worrying. I didn't. I never had to do that. I never wondered, and not everybody has this. And so I'm grateful for this now. But I never worried, I wonder what I'm going to eat. I wonder if I'm going to have enough. I wonder if I will be able to, and you fill in the blank. Now listen, we didn't have endless everything, but I never sat in want. And David's saying, you know what? With the Lord as my shepherd, I never am in want. He allows us to be able to live without fear and to live without worry because he provides for us. I was able to rest in the reality that my parents are providing for me. And God does the same with us as we allow him to be our shepherd. He gives us rest. The shepherd provides for us, but he also guides us. Tony?
He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
So it says that he restores us. That means that he brings us back, that he renews us. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are transformed and restored because he, Jesus, is the good shepherd. He paid our debt of sin on the cross, and in him, you and I can have new life. So the restoring is all about salvation. It's being saved. It's being restored. And after that restoration, he guides us into paths of righteousness. So what does that mean? It's an interesting thing because some people live with this idea, now that I'm restored, nothing else matters. And David takes it and says, he restores my soul, and then he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? That means that not only have you been restored, not only have you been saved, but you are also now being changed. In paths of righteousness. You're being redeemed. And you're not alone in that journey. He guides me in these things. You know, there's nothing worse than saying, all right, you're saved. Here's the handbook. Good luck. I worked at SPS Technologies when I was in co-op. And I remember getting my first day and thinking, I'm on co-op. I've got this incredible job. I've got a whole 6 months of learning and growing and this and that. And the guy comes in. He welcomes me. They give me all kinds of things. I sit at my desk. I can't wait to work on my first job. And he brings me this huge book. This is the project. It's yours. And he left. He left. He thought I was smart enough to figure it out on myself. What was he thinking? I'm a Drexel engineer. Oh, yeah, they're supposed to be smart. Rats. That's not me. Help. And it's a big book with lots of words and very few helpful pictures. How am I going to get this? Right? And sometimes we feel that way about our walk, right? I'm saved, I'm saved, I know Jesus, woohoo! This is great, now what? And someone hands you a Bible and says, here you go, good luck. Where do I start? Oh, you can start in Genesis if you want. Okay, okay. Boy, this is hard to understand. It's hard to figure out. Here's what's great. The Good Shepherd says, I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness. So you get saved, and you come to know Christ, and he isn't dropping a book and saying goodbye. The Spirit of God lives in you, and as you study his word, as you seek his face in prayer, as you commune and connect in the body of Christ, he walks with you. You're not alone. You're not alone at all. Tony, would you read Hebrews for me, Hebrews 13?
God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
Isn't that awesome? You're not alone. You're not alone. I know you feel alone at times. I know you sit sometimes and say, Lord, I'm calling your name, and I don't feel like I'm getting a lot back. I get that. I need you to know you're not alone, that he is with you. And as the Spirit works in your heart, as the Word of God transforms your soul, as you begin to connect with the body of Christ and allow that group of believers to affirm you and encourage you, you begin to realize, you know what? Not only am I not alone, I've never been alone, because you have always been with me. The shepherd leads and guides the flock in paths of righteousness. And here's what's cool. As you and I follow him, notice it says, guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As you and I follow him, we bring him glory. We bring him glory. So you and I don't need to fear, because he is with us and he is guiding us in paths of righteousness. We can have peace because he knows the way. I remember going on a trip with my family, and we were going to fly out of an airport in a far, far away land called Newark, New Jersey. So we were going to Newark, which is an airport that I never used, to fly out. And it's late at night, and it's snowing, and everything's a nightmare. And something happens that's never really happened to me before. All the flights got canceled. So we needed to find a place to stay, because it was already 1 a.m. Got to find a place. So I'm driving through Newark, New Jersey, and I don't know where I'm going, and I'm going through all kinds of different alleys and ways and spots, and it's getting darker, because it's already dark, I guess, but it feels like it's getting darker, and it's getting less knowable, and I'm less secure, and I have no idea where I'm going, and I'm going down little alleys, and I feel like I'm putting us all at risk, and I can tell my kids are getting scared in the back, because the guy in the front doesn't know where he's going. It shows, and it shows. Bah! And all of a sudden, I'm going, bah! And so everybody in the back is going, bah! And before you know it, it's 2 a.m., and we're flipping out. Why? Because the guide is an idiot. And that's me. You and I have a guide that you can depend upon. The Good Shepherd will guide us and lead us to paths of righteousness. My kid shepherd was wandering them in the wilderness, but the Good Shepherd knows the right direction and can guide us to the place where we can be restored and we can be blessed. The shepherd's amazing. He provides for us. And he guides us. And he also protects us. Tony?
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
All right. The shadow of the valley of death. Whew. It's a dark and dangerous path. And during those paths, there are bandits and animals, and they're lurking everywhere to get us. And sometimes, this is what's tough about this. Sometimes the shepherd needs to guide his sheep through the treacherous terrain to get to the destination that they need to go to. In other words, the shadow of the valley of death, it's not like the shepherd goes, oops, uh-oh, my boo, here we are. That's not how it's working here. And that's not what David's saying. David's saying, all right, we got to get to the foyer, but to get to the foyer, we still have to go down the aisle. And down the aisle is lurking bandits and animals and all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm not saying that's you, but you get the point. That's where we need to go. This is the danger over here. That's the valley and the shadow of death. Yeah, that's where we need to go. But even though I got to go there, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because the shepherd's leading me. And it happens to us today. True? True? Don't we go through these difficult, hard times that we don't even know why? That we don't understand? And we say, Lord, what are you doing? What are we doing? Lord, it's dark here. Lord, it's really dark. And sometimes the valley doesn't seem to ever let up. But God is saying, but David is saying, you know what? Even though I'm going through this valley to get to the destination that God wants me to go, I am not afraid because of my shepherd. David knows the shepherd is with him and he's capable of protecting him. He has a rod and a staff. And the rod is used to take care of enemies. And bop them with that staff. Get rid of them. But it's also used to direct the sheep safely. Come on. And sometimes we don't like that part of the staff, right? But God, our good shepherd, is using his rod and staff to defend us and direct us to safety. Life isn't easy. But because of God's presence, you and I can live without fear because we know that he is with us and he is greater than any enemy, trial, or tribulation we might face. Going into the valley of the shadow of death by yourself is a nightmare. But knowing and trusting in your good shepherd removes our fear and enables us to walk with confidence. When I was 18, I used to have to deliver parts in Camden for my father. And my father, not being the sharpest guy I've ever met, I guess, because he just gave me directions, gave me a van, gave me the parts, and sent me out. Again, what is he thinking here? And I drove my way into Camden, and we didn't have GPS back then, right? I had a map. I had a map, and it wasn't a pull-out map. It was a map that one of the shipping guys sketched out on a piece of paper that I needed to follow so that I could get to the coder who was in the depths of Camden, of which I had no idea where we are. And of course, I take a wrong turn, and a wrong turn here, a wrong turn there, and I have no idea where I'm going. And there are people on the corners that I'm afraid of, and people approaching me and asking me things that I shouldn't be asked. And it was awful. It was awful. It's a wonder I made it alive. What kind of idiot sends me to Camden? My father, I think he did it to just kind of scare me. But I don't know. But I was lost, I was scared, I was afraid, and I'm lucky I got out without a problem. However, I've been to Camden a lot since. But every time I go with my friend, Andy, who lives in Camden. And when I go and hang out in Camden with Andy, it's amazing. You might think it's age, but that has nothing to do with it. I'm still scared of everything just as much as I was when I was 18. But I walk through Camden with my friend Andy, and I never am scared because he knows the way, and he knows how to protect me in circumstances and situations because I have a good shepherd, and you and I have the good shepherd, who takes us through these difficult and trying times, and he walks with us through them. He gives us peace. When I'm with Andy, it's funny, I'm at rest. And a lot of times, what's around me is not at rest. I can hear sirens, I can hear noises, I can hear all kinds of things that should easily send me to the, oh my goodness, place of my life. But I don't, because my shepherd, my guide, is with me. You and I can walk through the trials and tribulations of life, and there are hard ones. There really are. But I need you to know that there is a good shepherd who will walk with you through them and protect you and guide you and get you to the other side. Our good shepherd gives us peace. He provides for us, he guides us, he protects us, and he exalts us. Tony?
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
So the imagery of this pass, of this this psalm begins to change a little bit. It moves from like the shepherd idea to a host idea. And so you go from the shepherd in the fields to like a friend or host in a banquet with the goal of exalting us. The table or a banquet is a celebration of God's provision and protection. The enemies represent our adversaries who've been overcome. And the Lord is exalting David in the presence of his enemies as a victory celebration. David's experience of life, which is his cup, has been so amazing that his life is so full of blessing that it is overflowing with thanksgiving. That's the idea. I see this every once in a while from Christians. I'm not sure they get it or not, but they'll talk about how God's been really good to them and kind to them and all this. And at the end of all they talk, they'll say, my cup is full. And I'm thinking, your cup is full of what? So, but what they're referring to is this Psalm 23. They're saying, my cup is full. God has continually blessed me, and he's giving me more than I ever imagined. He's given me more than I wanted. That's the idea. The oil and cup represent overwhelming blessing. Here's what's really cool. God doesn't want you to simply exist and get through this. He wants to radically exalt and bless us. You and I are his treasure, not his failure. God does not look at you and go, oh my goodness, I really mucked up here. I better start changing him and transforming him now and all that. Because we think of sanctification or transformation as this, man, I was made bad and now God's got to fix me. That's not what's going on. You were made right. But our sin nature, which we inherited and got upon us, has kind of wrecked us out. And now God is bringing us back to exactly who we were created to be. In him. And he looks back and he goes, that is mine. That is my treasure. Not that, you. Sorry, it's kind of like a toy I was thinking, but I guess not. No, you're his treasure, not his mistake. And I know you make mistakes, don't get me wrong. I'm loaded with them. But you are not a mistake. You are his treasure. And he is your shepherd. You're not a treasure amongst just an Iliad of treasures out there that don't matter. No, you're his specific treasure. Do you have a specific treasure, a specific something that you just look at and go, yeah, yeah. I got gifts like that. Some of them are expensive, some of them are not. You know, but there's one that I see every time I walk into my office. My daughter gave it to me. It's this little tiny Grogu. I sit there, and every time I walk in, I look at it, and I go, yeah, I love that. I love that. Such a blessing, right? I love it. And what God says is, he looks at us, and he goes, you are not only my treasure, you're my creation. You're my creation and my treasure, and I want everybody to know about you. I got 3 kids. I realize you can't see me in the back. I'm sorry. I haven't done that in years, by the way. I have 3 kids, and I got to tell you, I like letting people know about them. They're not my creation. They're God's creation. I get it. But they are my treasure. And I want to bless them every which way I can. I love them. And God says, You think you love your kids? Puh. Compared to me and my love for you, it's nothing. It's nothing. I love you so much, says the Lord. Your sin has been removed as far as the east to the west. And you're my treasure. When we allow Jesus to reign in our lives, he meets us and he blesses us beyond our imagination. That whole no eye is seen, no ear is heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, 2 Corinthians 5, I think it is. And it's in Isaiah as well. It's a quote from Isaiah. I have a hard time listening to that because I don't believe it enough. I don't think that God is going to out-bless me. I always think, you know what? I'm just not worthy. And God says, you're not. Thanks. Thanks. But I love you so much, and I think you're so awesome that I want to bless you beyond what you even think. And that's what David's saying here. He says, you know what? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. God has just blessed me and blessed me and blessed me beyond what I ever imagined. And it's a crazy thing to realize that God wants to overwhelmingly bless us now and is preparing a banquet in which he will honor and exalt those who put their faith in him. You're not just invited to the gig. You're going to be exalted as well. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing God. Pretty amazing shepherd. A shepherd who provides for us, guides us, protects us, exalts us, and finally blesses us. Tony?
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
David's experience of the past and rejoicing of the present give him a confidence for the future. Because of God's actions and promises, David knows he will experience three things throughout his life and beyond. One, goodness, God's kindness and abundant care towards us. God is going to give us his goodness. His goodness is going to be towards us. Second, love. God's sacrificial and selfless love towards us, which would later be demonstrated by Jesus going to the cross and giving his life for us. And then finally, this is very cool, that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? That means you and I have this hope, this promise, this reality that we can have and will have and hopefully do have a deep, connected relationship with the God of the universe that will never, ever, ever end. No matter what you do, because you put your faith in him, he will never leave you or forsake you. I think all the time, says, you know what? I've done a lot of stupid things, done a lot of idols in my life, and a lot of times I've forgotten the Lord. Gee whiz, how could the Lord, you know, I'm so unworthy. And then I think, wait a minute, here's David. What's David's laundry list? Not too bad. Just a little lying, a little adultery, a little murder, a little this, a little that. And what does God say about David? A man after my own heart. My servant. He's mine. Because I am his shepherd. He will know my goodness. He will know my love. And despite all the stupid, which by the way, each of us have a lot, in him, we can dwell in the house of the Lord. He never shuns us. He never shuts us out. He never shuts the door on us. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. You and I can have a deep, connected relationship with the God of the universe that never, ever, ever ends. The Apostle Paul said it this way. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our reality. That is our hope. And you can know that today. There's no waiting on that. When you put your faith in Christ, when you allow Him to reign in your life, you can know that deeply. I have two friends who are living through really, really difficult lives. One has neuropathy on their feet. I can't even explain the disease. All I know is that once upon a time, they were able to walk without an issue. And now they have no nerve endings, I guess, in their feet. They can't walk right anymore. They can barely get up. They're stuck in a wheelchair. And their world is, to say the very least, frustrating. And then I have another friend who was once one of the best communicators and teachers that I've ever met in my whole world. And he's got Parkinson's. And what he was once able to do almost anything. We thought of him, all his friends thought of him as almost invincible in the way he was able to just kind of communicate and impact people's lives for Jesus. It was amazing. And now he's at home. And to be honest with you, these two guys, I see these guys regularly, and I'm thinking, man, this has got to be, I keep thinking, man, it's so hard. And every time I'm with them, I'm taken back because they both live at peace. They live at peace, and they have joy, and they have purpose, even in the midst of their inflicted stuff. During these difficult days, because they know that nothing can separate them from the love of God. And even in this difficult time, they have found, and they both said this difficult time has enabled me to cling on to Jesus and know His love in a deeper, more intimate way than I ever imagined before. And so, even though I haven't had this wonderful thing happen to me, and I can't go on Facebook and just plunk, my cup overflows, I can say, my cup overflows. Because nothing can separate me from the love of God. And as you and I grow deeper in that love, here's what we begin to find, that Jesus is far more beautiful, far more desirable, far more wonderful, far more satisfying than anything this world has. And He is a great shepherd. He is a great shepherd. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, our good shepherd. God is a shepherd who provides, who guides, protects, exalts, and blesses our lives. And the greatest demonstration of this is when Jesus came as the good shepherd, giving His life for the sheep, for those who would put their faith in Him in order that they might experience eternal life. You and I can experience eternal life by putting our faith in Jesus, by saying, Lord, I give all that I know of myself to all that I know of You, recognizing that You have a sin problem. And understanding that Jesus is the solution to that sin problem. And He went to the cross and paid the debt of our sin. And now you and I have this opportunity, privilege, to respond to that great good news and put our faith in Him. And when we do, we experience new life. New life with the Good Shepherd. When we put our faith in Him, we experience goodness, we experience love, and we begin to dwell with Him in a deep, personal relationship that will never end. A relationship with Jesus will change you. It will restore you. It will transform you. And in Him, you will find rest, life, peace, and blessing. May you put your faith in Jesus. May you allow Him to be your good shepherd. May you let him lead you in ways that bless your life and glorify God. And as a result, may this good shepherd enable you to impact others for his glory. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would enable us to recognize who we are, sheep, and understand who you are, the good shepherd. Rather than running away from the shepherd, Lord, I pray that you would enable us to recognize your love and care for us and motivate and move us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. May we recognize the role that you play as our good shepherd in our lives. May it give us peace and life and joy. And Lord, I just ask now that you would be with us. Lord, we're going to sing. We're going to sing songs to you, songs of worship that glorify and lift you up. May we know in the midst of that, that you are our good shepherd and that in you we can have life and peace and hope for today and for the future. Lord, we have an eternity with you ahead. And Lord, we thank you that you don't mean to just enable us to get by, but Lord, that you have a future and a hope for us that is beyond what we ever imagined. May we trust in you for that, and may we live for you in a way that brings you glory and changes lives for eternity. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.